that land where saints will never die. We're gonna sing. We're gonna sing. By. Let's all say amen. I want to thank Brother Hill for leading us in songs on this morning. Amen? Amen. Songs are designed to, one, we know to praise God for what God has done in our lives, but also singing can sometimes lift our spirits. Amen? Amen? Yeah, take it from where we were to another level. Thank Brother Hill for doing that for me this morning and leading us in singing on this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I want to thank the brothers also that participated in prayer, scripture reading, and other levels on this morning to make this worship service one that will be decently and in what?
In order.
In order, according to the Lord. I want to say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Yeah, and I'm hopefully you are excited as I am about looking at this message this morning. Remember, these messages, when I come up, have been designed to assist us with our study. This message is designed to allow us the study we're doing on resisting the devil. And I want to say the more we can get an understanding from the Word of God regarding our greatest opponent, the devil, the more successful we can be in our Christian walk. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's only two people that can stop me from going to heaven. Only two people. Two people can stop me from going to heaven. Yeah, there's only two people can stop you from going to heaven. Yeah, only two people. One person is you, and the other person is the devil. Nobody else. Now, you can let other people, yeah, but ultimately, the only two people, especially if I'm a Christian. Now, if I'm in the world, and I was talking about that this morning, if I'm in the world, I'm lost already.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, if I'm not a member, and I'm sending it to those that are visiting this morning, if I'm not a member in the place where God has placed safety to go to heaven, and that is in the Church of Christ, and I'll share that in my message, then I don't have no inkling of going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I got to obey God in order for me to go to heaven.
Amen.
I got to do what I got to do, and we know that we all, excuse my voice this morning, I'm going to try to work through it. We all have a life before. I think someone said this in the class we had the other day. We live two lives, hopefully. One life we live before we meet Jesus, and then the second life is after we meet Jesus. But, and I'll show you in the lesson what God requires of us once we have met Jesus, in the sense that in order to meet Jesus, I got to meet the gospel. Yeah, I can't meet Jesus without hearing the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah, so God, it's not where God is just going to tap me on my shoulder. No, I have to do what everybody has done in the Bible to become a child of God. And I want to say, go on record now, if I have not obeyed God, I am not a child of God.
Amen.
Yeah, we say that sometimes. Well, you know, everybody ain't no child of God.
Amen.
Everybody ain't. Let me show that in the Bible. Go to John 8:44. I'll say this before I get in my message. I want somebody to say, well, how he know that? Because the Bible says it. Yeah. Yeah. John 8 and verse 44. Brother Oz, start at verse 43. My understanding is you got two fathers when it comes to those outside of my biological father. I have two. And the hope is that I'm going to serve one of them. I'm going to leave one and serve the other one. What does John say in John 8:43, Brother Oz?
Why do ye not understand my speech?
Uh-huh.
Even because you cannot hear my word?
Now that's God, Jesus talking. He said, why do you not understand my speech? And that's the thing for us today. We got to learn to understand the speech that's coming from God. He said, even because you cannot hear my word. Now watch what he said in verse 44.
Ye are of your father, the devil.
Ye are of your, notice now, so the devil can be your father. Ye are of your father, the devil. How do you know this? Read.
And the lust of your father ye will do.
In other words, and I'm going to say this in the message, there are desires that you have that the devil wants you to do, and we doing those things. He said, and the lust, the word lust to me, the desires of your father you will do. Read.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
And?
Abode not in the truth.
Because?
There is no truth in him.
When?
He speaketh a lie.
He speaketh.
Of his own.
For he is a what?
A liar.
And the?
Father of it.
Yeah, because I think I heard one time in a class recently, be careful sometimes we say sometimes, well, you know, the devil bless you. No, the devil don't bless nobody. That's a false statement when we make that statement. The devil ain't in the blessing business. Yeah, in order to be blessed, I got to be blessed the way God, and understand it. Go to Ephesians 1 and 3. I'm going to set this up, and then I'm going to get in my lesson this morning. Yeah. Let us know that in order to be blessed spiritually, Ephesians 1 and verse number 3, brother, what did the Bible say?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, now he said, first of all, we ought to bless God the Father. Read.
Who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Who has blessed, notice now, us. He's talking to Christians. Who has blessed us, read.
With all spiritual blessings.
With all spiritual blessings.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
In Christ.
In who?
Christ.
In order to get these blessings, you got to be in Christ. Yeah. So if I'm in the world, and I'm not a Christian, my father is the devil. And the devil will get us to do what he wants us to do. I have to be taught how to not listen to the devil. So I want to ask some questions this morning. I'm going to answer those questions in there. One question is, what does it truly mean to be carnal? You know, we hear that term sometimes. Where are you carnal? Where are you carnal? What does carnal really mean? Because oftentimes when we ask a question, we say, we'll use this answer. We'll say, well, what does carnal mean? That means worldly. Y'all heard that before?
Yes.
Say, well, that's worldly. And then you say, well, what does worldly mean? That means living worldly. Well, you still ain't defined worldly. Amen? But I want to show us from the Word of God, what does it really mean to be cardinal? Yeah. What does it mean from the Word of God? When we say, well, you are a cardinal. Yeah. You are worldly. Also, I want to answer, what does it mean to be spiritual? Yeah. Because we need to know. I need to know now if I'm moving forward toward heaven or if I'm on my way to hell. Yeah. Yeah, I need to know that. And I can answer that from the Word of God. Yeah. And then I want to answer, if I'm not spiritual as I ought to be, how can I, as a Christian, become spiritual? Now notice I've made the question, how can I, as a Christian, become spiritual? Because if you're not a Christian, you are not spiritual. Amen. Yeah. No one outside of Christ can be spiritual. Yeah. And I'm going to show that in the lesson this morning. Amen?
Amen.
So let's get to our lesson this morning. Romans chapter 8. And I want to share with us, as I use the text, as I get into my message, and I try to encourage the congregation to do what I refer to as manuscript reading. And manuscript reading, a manuscript is simply a letter. And I'm going to show us from this one letter that Paul wrote to the Roman, all of the answers I'm going to answer, I'm going to answer from the letter. Because what I got to understand with Apostle Paul when he wrote, sometimes he will ask a question and he gave the answer earlier. And then sometimes he'll ask a question, he'll answer it later. But again, oftentimes when the Apostle Paul wrote, you can actually take the letter and answer all the questions. So we're going to answer all those questions I asked from this one document that Paul wrote. And as I said before, remember, when we look at the Bible, man added book, chapter, and verse. Paul simply wrote a letter to those that were Christians in Rome. He didn't have no book. He didn't get no chapter. He didn't get no verse. He just wrote a letter. And they read the letter. And so if you read the whole letter, you'll get everything he was saying. Amen? Amen. So my lesson this morning, brother, you got me working this morning. And again, I'm going to have some things I want to show us from the text that we're reading. Other times, I'm going to have you use your Bible. Okay, thank you, brother Oates. So my subject this morning, is, and that's why I want to leave it with a positive. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If I am spiritually minded, not only I have life, but I also should have some what? Yeah. So if I don't have it, now he said in the text is to be spiritually minded. So in verse number 5 of Acts, Romans chapter 8, what's the Bible say, brother?
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
Yeah.
But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit.
So now notice what he says. And notice something. He used the word after. He said, for they. Now he's really talking about people in the world in this text. He said, for they that are after the what?
Flesh.
They do mind the things of the flesh. When I'm in the world, that's where my mind is at. You know, worldly people think about worldly things. Amen? No argument there. Here. They that are after the flesh do mind the things that are of the flesh. He said, but they that are after the spirit, they mind the things of the what?
Spirit.
Now, anytime you see the word spirit capitalized, it's always referring to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When you see it, as they say, when I know my girls in elementary school, I didn't notice till I got till I started studying with them. You know, they say lowercase, uppercase. Right. You know, I used to say write a small C and a big C. Yeah, but they get, you know how they get education. They get write it in a lowercase. Yeah. So when you see an uppercase S, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. When you see a lowercase S, it's talking about your spirit or a person's spirit. So the Lord is saying, Paul wrote to them, understand this here. Those people that are in the world, and that's why sometimes we struggle with people that's in the world that do worldly stuff. The Bible says those people that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. For they are not, for they that are of the spirit, the things of the spirit. So when I look at the word flesh, and I want you to, it's important now, oftentimes I'll put the Greek, what they call the English transliteration, a translation of the word. Now, for this time, I want you to notice the spelling of the word flesh, S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S. I'm not going to try to pronounce it and mess it up. I know you can read it, amen? But when the Bible is talking about the flesh here, Paul says there's a weaker part of us in our human nature. There's a part of me that's in my nature that goes low, that want to do low stuff, and I'll show you in the Bible. But the Bible says it is that weaker part. How do I know that? Because Paul says, look at Romans 6:19. Romans 6:19.
I'll speak after the manner of man.
Now, he said, Paul said, notice now, I'm using the Roman letter. I'm going to just stay with this one document. He said, I speak after the manner of men.
Because of the infirmity of your flesh.
The word infirmity simply means weakness. Paul said, I speak after the manner of men. Why? Because of the weakness of your flesh. All of us have a fleshly side. And that side is weak. Yeah. We talked previously in the message about the law of sin and the law of God. And I want to say to us, there's one organ that the Lord has given us, one part of our body that will determine whether I go to heaven or whether I miss heaven. I'll use it like that. The thing that will determine whether you, whether I, whether any of us go to heaven is going to be our mind. Ain't going to be my body. Ain't going to be because my legs fail. Ain't going to be because my arms ain't working. Ain't going to be because I can't move no more. What's going to determine whether we go, and I'm going to show you in the text, is the mind. Your mind. My mind. What we put in it and what we live by. Yeah. Because he says, go back to Romans 8, Brother Oles. Romans 8. In verse 6, he said, for what?
For to be carnally minded is death.
Yeah.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Notice he's talking about the mind. If I have a carnal mind, the Bible says it's going to lead to death, spiritual death. However, if my mind is spiritual, the Bible said that's life and peace. Yeah. life and peace. He says, verse 7.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Uh-huh.
For it is not subject to the law of God.
Yeah.
Neither indeed can be.
Yeah. Notice what Paul said. He said, when you are carnal minded, the word enmity means hatred against God. He said, now understand what he said. When I have a carnal mind, the carnal mind is not even subject to the law of God. When we talked about previously about the law of God and the law that I have in my mind, and go back to Romans 7. Look at, let me show you in the scripture so you'll see it. Use your Bibles. In Romans 7:23, read, he talked about two things. Read.
But I see another law in my members.
Yeah.
Warring against the law of my mind.
See, you got a law that's in your mind. That's the word of God. He said, I see another law in my members. This law is lawing against the law of my mind, doing what with it does?
Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin,
which is in
my members.
Yeah. So all of us have in us the law of sin. The law of sin influences you to do sin. But you also have another law called the law of God, that the law of God is in my mind. And remember I talked about a law. A law is simply designed to influence us. Here. I said, I think previous message that when you see the sign that says 65 miles an hour, that's a law. Now, that law can influence me, or I may forget that. But when it comes to the law of God, and I'll show you in the text, it has to influence me. God gives us something to hold the law in us, and we have to use that and do what the Word of God said. But the Bible says, because if I'm carnal-minded, I'm already against God. When I'm carnal-minded, I'm not even subject to the law of God. He said, neither I can't be. You know, some of us, even in church, you say, well, you know, man, well, I think you need to, I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah. Well, they used to have a song back when I was going to say, it's your thing. Y'all remember that? Yeah, see, now y'all trying to act like y'all don't know what to do. Y'all, I got to do, go out in y'all car and just pop something in there. Y'all know what I'm saying. It used to say, song, you say, it's your thing. Do what you, yeah, yeah. But as a Christian, it's no longer my thing. I can't do what I want to do. If I want to do what I want to do, don't become a Christian. Because when I became a Christian, that says that now I'm going to listen to the law of God.
Amen.
Yeah. And I want the law of God to help me. So when I think about the word carnal, again, we say, well, it means worldly. It means worldly. What does worldly mean? Worldly means you just worldly. Worldly means that you just ain't a Christian. Well, what does worldly mean? Good question. Yeah. By definition. Carnal relates to the satisfying of desires. When we talk about lust, that are controlled or led by what?
Human nature.
Yeah. Yeah. These desires are not spiritual, they're not moral in nature. So when I want to do something that I want to do that's in my nature, that's not spiritual, it ain't morally right to do, that's carnality. Yeah. Yeah. That's carnality. Yeah. That's carnality. Yeah. Get that so you get it. That's it. Something in me, I'm going to do what I want to do. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. And what I'm doing ain't spiritual. You know, we get upset with somebody, I'm gonna give them a piece of my mind. I'm gonna cuss them out. Yeah, I'm just gonna, I don't care. You know. Had a case today, I read a sad thing. Two children, 13, 14 years old, fighting, and one of them died. One of them died. No, I'm gonna teach my child, you don't fight at school. You defend yourself, but you don't fight at school. You don't go looking for no fight. You don't say, no, I'll meet you after school. Yeah. See, and if I'm a parent like that, you call no mind. Yeah. And sometimes our children don't behave because when we as teachers, we as parents go up to school, we act like.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Now, how you expect your child to behave when you don't behave? How you going to expect your child to respect your teacher when you don't respect your teacher? Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, you go up there, you're already mad. You're already mad. Yeah. You know, well, she said my child is, my child, your child a lie every day of the week.
Amen.
Yeah. Like, well, ask yourself this, have your child ever lied to you? Yeah. Yeah. So now, if they're capable of lying, they'll lie. Amen.
Amen.
What I'm talking about is that when you're spiritual minded, you conduct yourself differently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When, notice that. Now, when I'm spiritual, morality sets in. I'm going to be, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to be moral. I'm going to go in. You dust up my child, did this my child, I'm going to go in, I'm going to be respectful. Yeah, may I speak to you about a minute? You know, my child came home and this and that, and I'm just coming to find out the facts of the matter. Yeah. I don't go in there defending my child. I go in there to find out the facts of the matter. And now, and understand this here. You got teachers. Because your child is how they are. Some teachers don't like your children. Some of us don't like our children. And they're your children. I'm just telling you. You know, some of you all say, I can't wait till they get out of my. Yeah. Yeah. I just can't wait. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're saying that, what you think and the teacher got it every day? And you know your child coming in there, they want to clown and act in front of other people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, that's what carnal means. Carnal. When I satisfy desires that I have, and these desires are either controlled or led by my own nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, when I was young, I used to drink a lot. So it's in me to drink. Yeah, I want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to. Yeah, that's carnality.
Mm-hmm.
So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to get out with the brothers. I'm going to get out with the boys. I'm going to get out with the boys. I'm going to drink me some.
Mm-hmm.
I want to satisfy my own desire.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way it make me feel. So I'm going to get out, I'm going to drink me some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's carnality. That's carnal. And then there's other behaviors. What are the behaviors? Go to Romans chapter 1. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Show you what they are. Because I told you, Paul talked about them. Yeah. What does it mean to be carnally minded? Yeah. I want you to see it in the Bible. Be carnally minded. Romans chapter 1, Brother Oles, and begin at verse number 28. Let's use our Bible some. Romans 1:28.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge,
mm-hmm.
God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
What kind of mind?
Reprobate.
To do what?
Those things which are not convenient.
So notice now, because they did not want to retain God in their mind. Remember I talked about your mind. For some of us, we don't want to retain God in our
mind.
Yeah. So what God can do, God gave them over. And the one thing you don't want is God to give you over. The Bible says that God gave them over to a reprobated mind. God rejects the person, mind. And God going to let you do whatever you want to do. That's why LGBT, whatever it is, they think they're just doing and we serve God. No. God then gave you over. God then gave you over. Yeah. Yeah. How you know he gave him over? Because the Bible says he gave him over. Look at verse number, Brother O's, number 24. Romans 1. Thank you, my brother. Romans 1. Well, no. Let me just help this out. Romans 1:22. Yeah, because see, sometimes, even in the church, we think we smarter than God. Yeah. And see, people out there in the world, they think they know better. They know more than God. But what? Notice how Paul talked about stuff hundreds of years ago, and it's still prevalent today. Read verse 22. Read.
Professing themselves to be wise.
Professing themselves to be what?
wise.
Read.
They became fools.
They became what?
Fools.
See, you can think you know something, you don't know nothing. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Read.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man.
And?
To birds.
And?
Four-footed beasts.
And?
Creeping things.
Wherefore?
God also gave them up to
God
uncleanness.
God did what?
Gave them up.
To do what?
Uncleanness.
Through?
The lust of their own heart.
Through the what?
Lust of their
See,
own heart.
See, remember now, you got to have desires in your heart. God gave them up to uncleanness through the things that they wanted to do to dishonor what?
Their own bodies between themselves.
To dishonor your body between yourself. Who changed the truth of God.
Into a lie.
Yeah.
And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator.
Who is blessed.
Forever. Amen.
Yeah, so now God can give you. See, you can change God's word. You can't really change. But Paul said what they did was try to change the truth of God into a lie. And then they start worshiping the creature more than the creator. Some of us will do what? We'll see a celebrity say something on TV and we'll go out and do it. Yeah. Yeah. Let a celebrity say something. You notice something how they trick us? Most times on commercials, they use celebrities. And you will go out and buy stuff because a celebrity said buy this stuff. You go out there and buy it because they say buy it like they know what they're talking about. Now, they got money to do what they were doing. But watch this, verse 26. For this cause,
God gave them up.
Notice again now, God gave them up. And unto
vile affections.
In other words, the word vile affections simply means you got the word vile affections mean degrading passions. You know, a man looking on another man. Yeah, that's degrading passion. Amen. A woman looking at another woman. For even
their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
And likewise,
also the man,
leaving
the natural use of
leaving,
the woman.
Leaving. I know when I was growing up, parents was different parents back then. When I was growing up, if you was a boy, you're going to have army men. Amen? And you're going to get you, if you had enough money, you're going to get you an electronic football machine. Y'all remember the football men?
Yeah.
You put that little cotton up on his arm?
Yeah.
Huh? Y'all, come on, say amen if you can. Yeah. You put that on his arm, and he run.
Yeah.
He run. You turn the machine on, he start moving.
Yeah.
And you put him there, he just start moving. Don't nobody get him, he going for a touchdown. You had those things. Had those things. But men, if you was a boy, you had army men. Yeah. Because then they still had the draft. You was going somewhere. Yeah. They setting you up. Yeah. Until Nixon came in and said, I tell you what, y'all vote for me, I'll stop it. And as I said before, I go on record as saying, I think that hurt this country. Because back then, if you went to the service, you're going to know how to say yes, sir,
no, sir.
Yeah. And you was going to become, when you went in, if you stayed, you're going to come out a man. Yeah, you're going to come out a man. You're going to know how to work. You ain't going to be lazy like some of our children are now.
Amen.
It will make you. Now, that don't mean you had to do with some racial stuff, too. I know some of our older brothers that served, you had racism also to deal with. But it taught you how to be a man. It taught you how to button your lip. When someone says something you want, you couldn't tell everybody what you wanted to say. Because, yeah. And then little girls, they would get them baby dolls. Yeah. They'd get baby dolls. And the last thing, you want to die young, let a boy be caught playing with a baby
dog.
Combing her hair. Yeah. I'm just happy. What? See, sometimes if we're not careful, we get all this education. All you got to do is go back and look at how your parents raised you. Why did you finish school? Why did you make some of yourself? Because they was going to instill discipline in you. Now we got children. We let them have everything, give them everything, and they ain't doing nothing. For you, not for themselves in some cases. Yeah. Yeah. They made shit in. But the Bible says they left the natural use of a woman. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Brother Old.
Burning their lust one toward another.
So men now start desiring men. See, this ain't new. God said it through the Apostle Paul. Leaving the natural use of a woman, burning themselves one toward another, men.
With men, working that which is unseemly.
Unseemly. And receiving themselves.
That recompense of their error, which was meet.
Yeah. That's in the Bible. Yeah. That's in the Bible. God said that a long time ago. So when you're saying that, God, it's unseemly. It's unseemly. It's ungodly for a man to desire a man, for a woman to desire a woman. Ungodly. And even as they did not like to retain God.
In their knowledge.
Yeah.
God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Oui.
To do those things which are not convenient.
Now he's going to talk about when you say, what is a carnal-minded person? Paul described these things. You can read them. Read.
Being,
he said what?
Being filled with all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Fornication.
Yeah.
Wickedness.
Yeah.
Covetousness.
Yeah.
Maliciousness. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers.
All of these things are carnal-minded. When I'm in the church, and I'm out there and I want to just commit fornication, that's a cardinal mind. Yeah, now, young sisters, understand this. If you're dating one of the guys in the church and that's what they want to do, they are cardinal minded. You want a spiritual minded man that's going to respect you and respect. First, they got to respect God, then they'll respect you.
Amen.
But if they don't respect you, they ain't going to respect God either. Yeah. And they'll be backbiters. You know, sometimes even in the church, we'll go behind and talk about somebody. You bite them in the... Yeah. Yeah. That's carnality. Yeah. Instead of me saying, you know, Brother Cash, can I talk to you for a minute? You know, I want to just share with you, you know, you said this to me, and I just want to come to you, and I want to talk to you. Go to the person. That's Christianity. That's spirituality. Go to him and him. That's what God said. To go to anybody else about cash, to go to anybody else to talk about a situation, that's wrong. And I'm going to say it to the member. Don't come bringing me and Brother Brooks stuff that you saw. Go to the person. You saw it? Brother Stroud, you know what I saw last night? Okay, yeah. Now, and I'm going to say, so did you talk to her? No, I was coming in. Why? You saw it? Yeah, sometimes we are brothers. Read, Brother Holmes.
Haters of God.
Uh-huh.
Despiteful.
Mm-hmm.
Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents.
So when you have children that's just totally disobedient, that's carnality. Disobedient to parent, without understanding.
Covenant breakers.
Uh-huh.
Without natural affection.
Yeah.
Implacable, unmerciful.
See, when you see a woman give birth to a child and leave that child somewhere, she don't have the natural affection. See, natural affection, let me share it with you. Natural affection in Exodus, when Moses' mother sent him down the river, God made it so that Pharaoh's daughter would find Moses. He knew one thing she had a mother's affection. She had a mother's heart. And so what he did was even though during race relations, when you have a mother's heart, it don't care whether that child white, green, orange, or purple. It don't matter. That's a child. Remember. And so when she saw the baby rolling down, let me help us with this here. Oh, my time is up. When she saw him going down the river, go to Exodus 1. I'm going to just say this here. I don't want to say that, and then y'all be saying, well, what are you talking about? He ain't saying that in the Bible. Exodus in the Old Testament. Y'all help the preacher out. I had to preach out here. Yeah. Yeah. Just start reading the verse number 1. If I don't get to my message, y'all appreciate me anyway, hopefully. Yeah, sometimes it's good just to show us stuff. And there went a man, Leviticus, I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 2. What did I say, Leviticus?
Exodus.
I said Exodus 2?
Exodus 1.
Okay, Exodus chapter 2. That's all right. Anytime the preacher can be wrong too, correct him. Exodus 2. This may help somebody this morning. Read. And there went a man
of the house of Levi and took a wife of a daughter of Levi.
And the woman conceived.
And bare a son.
Uh-huh.
And when she saw him that was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months.
She hid him for 3 months. Read.
And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink.
Read.
And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him.
So now understand this here. You got to really trust God to take your child, put your child in a river with snakes and alligators and everything else, and you put him in. See, y'all got to, sometimes we got to see what we don't read. Mm-hmm. You take your child, how many months old?
Three
months. You know he's going to be crying. You know something going to hit him. And you put him in the river. Send the river, down the river, and you tell Miriam, watch and see what happened to the child. Read.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river.
Uh-huh.
And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it.
Read.
And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept.
Read.
And she had compassion.
She had what?
Compassion.
See, God knew one thing about her. She had a mother's heart. Don't want no mother let your child or let any child go unattended. Now you got a mother's heart. Read.
And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children.
So she knew. Make this 2019. Here you are, an Afro-American. You see you black. You see a white child by himself. He ain't no black child. White child. But it's still a
child.
Read.
Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother.
Now watch this here. Let me show you how God works. See, sometimes we don't miss this. I send my child out the door, Moses' mother did, not knowing what's going to happen to the child. Then somebody knock on the door. Yes, ma'am. Miss Moses.
Yes.
Could we pay you to take care of your child for me? Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. This woman was paid to take care of her own child. See, sometimes we don't think, sometimes we do think things are impossible for God. Ain't nothing too hard for God. God set it up that if she went into Pharaoh's daughter, and Mary went, she said, ma'am, that's a Hebrew child. See, I know that. I see the robe on it. She said, well, do you want me to get somebody to take him? Go get somebody. Mama, I got your job. What I'm going to do? You're going to take care of my brother? And what's going to happen? They're going to pay you for it? What am I talking about? Natural. See, sometimes God uses us based on how we built. Yeah. Go back to Romans 8. I'm going to have to finish this lesson. Oh, man, this is some good stuff. I want to get to finish. But I'm just trying to show us sometimes when you don't have that natural affection, you'll do those things. Then he said, Romans 1:32, and I'm going to go ahead and close the lesson. Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God.
Who knowing the judgment of God.
Uh-huh.
That they which commit such things
are worthy of what?
Death.
Are worthy of what?
Death.
Not only do they do the same,
but have pleasure in them that do them.
See, people do stuff out there in the world, and they have pleasure in doing that carnality stuff. That's what the Bible says. Not only do they do the same, you know, they rainbow and all this stuff here, and they enjoy and they have pleasure in that stuff. God said it. Ain't nothing new. That's a car. Those are descriptions of a carnal mind. Let's go back to spiritual mind. Go back to Romans 8. Let me try to get this here, how we can become spiritual. So again, a carnal mind looks like the things that God had given to Paul through the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 1, when you look at that. But now, back in Romans 8 and verse the Bible said to be carnal minded is
enmity against God.
Yeah.
For it is not subject to the law of God,
uh-huh.
neither indeed can be.
Now watch verse 8. That's important.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
See, when you in the flesh, how can I go to heaven when I can't please God? They that are in the flesh. Now notice the word, I know I told you this here. The word flesh and the word carnal, same Greek spelling. Those words mean the same. Yeah. They're like the word just and the word righteous mean the same thing. The Bible says, and the just shall live by faith, they that are righteous. The word righteous and just is the same Greek word. That's why he changed the word. The word flesh and the word carnal, same word. He just changed it because he talked about something else. Yeah. So again, he said, if I'm in the flesh, I cannot please God. Read.
But ye are not in the flesh.
Now he's going to talk to us as Christians.
But in the spirit.
Yeah.
If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you.
Yeah.
Now if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Yeah. Now let me have this, and I'm going to close here. So he said, so they that are in the flesh cannot. If I'm in the flesh, I cannot. If I'm fleshly, if I'm carnal minded, I cannot please God. Mm-hmm. But he does not. Now notice he said, now he's talking to Christians. He was talking about people in the world, they're in the flesh. He said, but we are in the what?
Spirit.
Yeah. If so be that the Spirit of God do what?
Dwell in you.
Yeah. He said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So now what Paul was telling us, when we obey God, God gave us his Holy Spirit. It dwells in us. Yeah. So the word dwell means it's a guiding influence living inside the what?
The mind.
It's an indwelling. All of us have, when you become a Christian, now you have the Spirit of God in you. It dwells in your mind. However, now I got to use the law of God to help me do the thing. That's how I get from being carnal. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah. So again, dwell simply means it's an influence. Remember I talked about law. Law simply influence behavior. So I got to have in me, like I said before, let him that stole steal no what?
More.
Yeah. So now, it's not that I don't have a desire to steal, but the Word of God teaches me not to steal. Yeah. That's the indwelling. That's the teaching of God that dwells in me, that teaches me how not to, you know, the Bible tells us to season your tongue with salt. It teaches me how to talk to people. I don't cuss nobody out no more. Yeah. I season my tongue that it may be a grace unto the hearers. So now, and I close with the time I have left. How does the Christian develop a spiritual mind? Well, Brother, what if I'm not there? Well, let's go to the Bible. Romans 12, Brother Old, 12 and 1. Two scriptures, and I'm going to give a plan of salvation to those that are not Christian, to become a Christian, and message yours. How do I become a spiritual-minded person? Paul answers the question as he continued the letter in Romans 12. Brother Old.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren,
uh-huh. yeah.
by the mercies of God,
yeah.
that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice,
uh-huh.
holy, acceptable unto God,
mm-hmm.
which is your reasonable service.
Yeah. So Paul said, I'm beseeching you by how merciful God has been to all of us. That's what he based it on. You got to understand that God showed you some what?
Mercy.
Some mercy. That's what it is. If I don't remember how God was merciful to me, and God allowed me to live 27 years and didn't let me die, allow me to die, and I was able to hear the gospel, obey the gospel, God showed me some what?
Mercy.
Yeah. And he said, now, in the Old Testament, they presented lambs and different things. He said, but now this time, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice. I want to be holy, and the word accepted me, please unto God, which is your what?
Reasonable service.
Now, let me help with that word reasonable, because sometimes we say, well, you know, whatever reasonable you can do. No, that ain't what it means. The word comes from the word being able to reason. In order to be able to reason, I got to be able to think. So what God was saying in the text was, the The word reasonable means the ability to learn and understand things from the Word of God. Watch this here. To deal with new or difficult situations as a what? Because see, now you're a Christian. You ain't in the world no more. I know in your world, you know, Harold, you something happened in your world, you go do what you're going to do. I know you, Harold. I got to watch you, Harold. Yeah. I know what you're capable of doing. Yeah. Just say amen when you can. Yeah. I enjoy Harold. I joke with Harold. But what God's saying now, Harold, in the past, you used to say, well, let's sell this outside. But now, the Word of God teaches me differently. Now, understand this here. The situations don't change, but now I got another way of dealing with them. So what I do from the Word of God, he said, your reasonable servant, I use the Word of God to help me deal with life. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul was saying. And now I got to deal with life that at the end of the day, when I get into a situation with somebody, God can look at how I dealt with it and be pleased with how I dealt with it. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it takes the Word of God in order to make me spiritual.
Amen.
Last verse, Brother Owens. And be not
conformed to this world.
Yeah.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yeah. So now understand this here. The Word of God is not designed me just to listen to a message and I go on. But what the word transform means, what's the definition? It's an obligation being to undergo a what kind of change? A complete change under the power of God through
the Word of God.
That's how I make a transformation. So if I ain't studying the Bible, if I'm not trying to put into action what the Word of God said, I'm not transforming. He commands us, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye
transformed.
Yeah. You know, when you got those transformers, they always do what?
Change.
Always. And they change into whatever they need to be. And I'm saying as a Christian, we need to change to whatever we need to be in order to please God.
Amen.
Make that transformation.
Amen.
Make that transformation. That's my message this morning.
Amen.
To be spiritual minded is life and peace. And the word peace in that context means, you know, sometimes in life, some people are just contented with life as it is. You ain't going to ruffle my feathers. You ain't going to flare me up. You know, you say what you want to say, and I'm going to let you go about your
business.
Yeah. Why? Because I'm content. When I don't have that peace of mind, and when I let the devil get in, somebody say something, now I'm rearing up. But I'm finna make a transformation. I'm a transform. You here this morning, and you're not a Christian. You're not. I think we had a young man did this recently. You made a transformation. You made a change. So what they told you back then, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." My brother heard the gospel of Christ. Yeah, he said, "But it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth." To the Jew first, also to the Greek. So you got to hear the gospel of Christ. You got to hear that message. The word gospel means good news. You got to hear the message that Jesus Christ, God loved you enough, he asked his son to come down his earth. Jesus suffered on the cross. Died for our sin. Nails in his hand. They put thorns on his head. He died on that cross for we can have salvation. And then Paul said in the Romans letter, notice he told them about the gospel at the end. Then he said, what shall we say to the end? Shall we continue sin that grace abound? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're still in your sin. How do I correct that, Brother Stroud? My brother did it recently. We had two sisters did it this past week. How do I change that? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are, notice, dead to what?
Sin.
Live in the longer the end. Now they were dead to sin. Yeah, Jesus died for sin. We died to sin. What I must do? He said, no, you're not there. So many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into a death. We are baptized in water. By faith, the blood is in the water. It cleanses us of all our past sins. The Bible says that. Cleanses us of all our past sins. And now we are baptized into his death. The Bible says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should now, notice now, walk in the newness of life. That's why I say you got to do a transformation. You got to change yourself. I can't stay like I am. I got to work on myself through the word of God. Change me. Stop me from cussing. Stop me from drinking. Stop me from smoking. It will change my behavior if I listen to God. Yeah. Yeah. And then finally, once I obey God, I become a Christian. I become a member of the churches of Christ, those that belong to the Lord. So if you're one that would like to respond to the gospel message, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We can all have it, but we got to become a Christian first. Does anyone like to respond to the message? We bid you to come, and together we stand. Sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you,
you got
washed
it.
In the blood of the Lamb?
Are you
fully trusting in his grace this hour?
Are you washed in the blood of the
Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood, in the
soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are
your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed?